This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
There is a place for long messages and the need for much learning. Now, I know you might not like to hear that, which will mean something. There needs to be an alertness and a full attention to the Word of God. Jesus said, proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 10:7 is at hand. That's how he sent them out. I want you to tell everyone the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't stand here today because I have to have something to say. I stand here today because I have something to say. There's a difference.
Do you like to read? Sadly, it's a pastime that's becoming increasingly rare with advances in technology. Most people nowadays prefer 15-second videos and short AI-generated answers to their questions. However, there's something special about enduring a long-form piece of content. Pastor Bo teaches in today's message that as you begin to listen to the longer messages and study the Bible, you will begin to long for the kingdom of heaven and grow in your faith with Jesus. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, The Faithful Minister.
Be a faithful minister. Be a faithful believer in your generation. John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you, Jesus said. A servant, that's us, is not greater than our master. That's Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying, if they persecuted me, then understand, church, understand, Bo, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, also be encouraged, Bo, they will also keep yours. So it's both. So it's not like just, oh man, it's going to be hard and it's all going to be bad and we're just going to stand and fight and all this kind of stuff. No, there's also going to be all the time, people responding to the Word of God in a good way. The Word of God, the seed of the Word falling on good soil of hearts, of people. And if you doubt that, I just encourage you, don't doubt that. Instead, believe what the Word of God says. And the Word of God does still work in the hearts of people. It is seed. It is spiritual seed. When it is sown, it works in the hearts of people. And they do grow. People do change by the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You and I wouldn't be here if that wasn't possible. The transformative power of the gospel is still potent today. It's just we have to be sharing that, communicating that. Even living off of that, having our own faith and belief in it as we share it, not just saying it because Bo said it. That lacks conviction. That lacks unction. There's no power in that. That's an echo. You need to have your own just understanding of the Word of God at this particular point and be able to just share that with folks from your own heart and say it how it comes to you. And just what I'm trying to talk about is how you bear the Word of God down. You have to bring the Word of God into situations in a genuine, real, authentic way that calls for action, calls for faith. There's got to be some response to that. When you start doing that, having that kind of conversation, you're now making disciples. You're now getting traction with the kingdom of God on planet Earth. You're not slippery. Your shoes aren't skipping. Your faith work isn't just skipping. Sort of like, no, we got to get this thing on the ground. We got to get our cleats in the ground. I need to know the truth. The truth has set me free. The truth will set them free. They've got to be willing to share this, talk this through, and remain faithful to the Word of God, and you'll see the Word of God work. Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, I like to highlight that word granted, it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ, that you should not only believe in Him, but church, listen, but also suffer for His sake. Now, I understand that's hard. But once you get that right, man, so much of your theology will straighten out. So much of it. When we have a good understanding, a right theology of suffering, it will help us in all. It has tentacles that go out into all other areas of our faith. So understand that. It has been granted to us. For the sake of Christ, that not only that we get to believe in Him, that's glorious, that's wonderful, but then that also in this life, we would have the opportunity to even just bear with some of what He went through and be able to associate with Him in a much deeper way and then be able to draw upon the wells of our salvation in that situation that come from Him that will give us the power to endure Suffering is never without a purpose. It's not pointless. It's always cultivating perseverance and endurance and a deeper worship. And it's doing a whole lot that you would have never otherwise been able to experience. Many of you have gone through things and you know what I'm saying when I just teach what the Word of God says about that, but you have experienced it experientially. You know what that is. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ," it says, "will be persecuted." All right, here's the fourth eye-catching glimpse of a faithful minister in this text. It's that he discipled those who were accompanying him. It says in verse 4, "Sopater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas." So those disciples go ahead. "But we sailed from Philippi," which is a little to the north now, "after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we met them in Troas," across the Adriatic Sea, "where we stayed for 7 days. Now, what I want us to see here is that he discipled those who were with him. Right here, you're seeing this ministry team. It's like, where'd they come from? Well, again, you've got a greater depth in Paul's life than what is always seen. You've got, on the quickly passages, you read a verse real quick, and here's one of those statements again, where you see a lot in the background. Oh man, look at all these guys who are with him. And so he is, as a faithful minister, discipling those who are with him in the ministry. So I'm not a perfect minister by any means, but this is something I am trying to get better at. Just discipling people who are serving Jesus with me. As people are just with me in ministry, that I'm pouring into them. That the time we're spending together doing this thing, value is added to their life as a result of spending time with me. I want them to be able to be better, in a sense, in serving the Lord and living for Him as a result of having proximity to me. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah, and I think we should all be living like that. Like, hey, so-and-so, come with me. I got to go run this errand. I got to go do this thing in the neighborhood, thing with my kids, and I've been wanting to spend time with you, and I have some things I'd like to share with you, and I haven't really had the opportunity because in my head, I think I got to have some perfect moment to do it. No, just take them with you along the way. Shoot them a text, say, "I'll pick you up in an hour. I'd love to grab coffee next week on Tuesday," whatever it might be. And you just, and people who you know and who are serving the Lord, or maybe not even, but who are also serving the Lord with you, that there is this discipling thing going on all the time with those who are serving Jesus with you. That's what a faithful minister does. He grows disciples. I think one thing we're going to have to wrestle with after this message, I mean, I don't know if you want to take it that way. Wrestle with, I don't know if that's the right way to say it. But this message is doing something. It's such a filtering kind of a message. It's such a contrast. It's a helpful, it's setting the bar, and then you've got to cross-examine what you've seen and heard and all that. It's doing that. And I think that's good. I think you should allow that, because we need that reorientation back to straight, what does the Word of God say about this? Because that needs to be relayed again. And the faithful minister, he grows disciples, not his likes, let's say, on Instagram. It's not that's all bad, but that's not his driver. That's not what he's, no, a faithful minister, that is so far out on the horizon of a faithful minister. That is nowhere even in his, like, sphere of responsibility day in, day out in serving Jesus. His first and foremost here we're seeing is to disciple those who are near to him, who are also serving Jesus with him. I won't go through, it's going to take up a lot of time, but to go through each one of these guys, but just know that most of them come from churches and they are leaders in their churches, and now they're spending time with Paul and no doubt learning a lot. These are all good guys that have been serving Jesus, and now they're with Paul, and Paul is just pouring into them even more. He's constantly making disciples. He's constantly attaching men to himself and growing them in the Lord. And you know Matthew 28:19-20. This is what we're supposed to be doing. "Go therefore," right, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, Jesus said, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So this is what we're doing. The Lord is with us. We're to be carrying that out. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says, and what you have heard from me, Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses. So there's all that accountability associated with the truth that I have poured into you. You've got to entrust that to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Are you concerned about a watered-down church, a watered-down gospel, a watered-down version of Christianity from one generation to the next? I am. It concerns me. Maybe I'm crazy, but it concerns me that from one generation to the next, how far the one little dial, when it just goes click like that, where we end up 50 years from that one miss. Now, I'm not driving for perfection. I'm not being over the top crazy, controlling, trying to make sure I'm not doing that. I'm just concerned about the purity of the church, the spirit fullness in the church, the authority of the Word of God in the church, whether or not I'm on top of the Bible. You have to understand, I'm going to share a statement with you right now. We do not sit in judgment on the Word of God. The Word of God sits in judgment on us. We are underneath what the Word of God says, as it has come to us from Genesis to Revelation, complete canon. We do not sit in judgment on the Word of God. We have, the church has gotten where it is today, at least in this country, because man sits in judgment on the Word. There's only one place that's going to lead: apostasy and eternal destruction. The Word of God is a gift to us. We do not sit in judgment of it. We humbly come up underneath its authority. Now, these men were chosen to handle also the offerings in the church, money and so forth. That's what they're doing on this trip, actually. They're collecting an offering to bring to Jerusalem. So they show us what kind of men, ushers, we might say in church today, should be chosen to handle money for the church as well. These are trustworthy men, spent time with Paul. They have a conscience, they have a short account with God, short account with their fellow man. There's accountability there, integrity there, character there, a depth of character. Here's the fifth glimpse of a faithful minister from Paul, and it's that he worshiped with believers wherever he was. What are you getting at, Bo? You know, pastors take vacation too. Did you know that? Did you know that? We'll go on vacation just like everybody else. But he worshiped with believers. All I'm trying to say is, it didn't matter where he was or what was going on. When Sunday came, Paul's in church. Watch this, verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, that was customary then, they would do it every week, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech. How long did Paul talk, guys? Until midnight. Yeah, and so here you have a faithful minister worships with believers wherever he is. So he is in Troas on the ocean front for 7 days. Oh, Troas is a beautiful place, which means he was there for one Sunday that we just read about. He's tired. He's exhausted. He apparently had no break at this point for years in his ministry. And instead of taking Sunday off and kind of strolling the beach, how many of us would do that? It's Sunday, Lord. It's your day. I'm going to go walk the beach. No. He doesn't do that. Where is he? He is worshiping with the believers. So he is faithful in worshiping on the first day of the week, in observing the day of the Lord. That's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. That's why we worship, we gather together on Sunday. And he's observing the Lord's Supper, breaking bread weekly, sharing in communion, having fellowship with the other believers, no matter who they were, no matter where they were from, no matter how poor the facilities were. They weren't, you know, oh, it's not good enough for Paul, you know. No, none of that matters. They're actually in a house in this passage as you read it. So in honoring the Lord with other believers, he's there on the Lord's day. Wouldn't that be wild if Paul walks in? Wouldn't that? You know, I don't think many of us would even recognize him. because he'd have, you know, scars and stuff. And he'd just be pretty average. He's going to have something on his clothes, though, that's going to indicate that he's a rabbi. Some sort of mark that they would wear, some sort of sash or something that would indicate. But for the most part, man, you're going to see a guy that's pretty quiet, very humble, beaten to a pulp, and is filled with just apostolic power. Where would you expect him to be on the Lord's Day? He was worshiping. He's worshiping. Now, we're all here, right? So we're the holy ones, right? We're here. We're here. We're here. We're in church today. But just, I mean, I touch on it because, right? I mean, just being in regular fellowship, church. Here's Luke 2, 36 through 37. There was a prophetess. Her name was Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, so she's elderly, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. Notice this, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. One example, Luke 24, 52 to 53, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And then it says, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Acts 2, 46, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, day by day. Hebrews 10, verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here's number 6. You know what it is. He preached long and fervently. All right, he did. Look at verse 7. On the first day of the week, here's the sign. This would be a sign of a faithful minister. You're like, really? That you guys just preach forever? Well, understand there's more to it than that. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intended to depart, and on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. So the faithful minister does preach, and it's not just long for long's sake. It's because we're talking about the things of the kingdom, and just unpacking them, extrapolating them, explaining them, so that people can understand them, and it does take time, and there's a fervency involved. I'm trying to learn more and more how to keep that kind of in check while I share the Word of God with you guys. Because sometimes my fervency can make the clock go fast, and then I didn't get much done. I just got excited with you guys. So the faithful minister, though, he does grab every opportunity to preach despite tiredness and the need for rest. Paul is giving. He is not taking. Understand that. He is serving the Lord's people. He's not there to receive something from them. He is preaching, he is giving until midnight. I remember going to India with Pastor Mark, who was a pastor here in our community for decades, ministered and touched many of our lives. Many of us are here today because of his ministry. And we went to India together, and I'll never forget, I had traveled the desert multiple times. We've got a lot of us guys in here in the military. We're used to going to Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, all those countries. I've been there a bunch of times. But going to India, we landed, our layover was one in Germany and then one in Dubai. And then we got on another big airplane and went from Dubai down to India. I couldn't imagine going to Australia the other way or something. But when we went to India, another 8-hour stretch, I was gone. I was gone. I didn't know what day it was. I didn't know if it was Monday or Thursday. The sun was in a weird place. My watch didn't work anymore. I was like, whatever, what are we doing? And so then we get out of the airport, and, you know, he's chipper as can be, and we get in an SUV, and he and I sit in the back while these two gentlemen from India escort us for about 2 hours on a highway where everybody's doing about 90 in the opposite direction, and our mirrors are just inches apart from each other. Literally, it's like they see each other coming, and they get closer. It's like a part of how they drive. And so I'm kind of on pins and needles for 2 hours in this car ride. We get to the Bible college where we're going to be for a while. It's about 700 students at this Bible college. And Pastor Mark asks the staff to go ahead and get the Bible college students together because he'll be ready to preach in about an hour. And I was like, I don't understand the energy of this guy. Like, what is going on here? I'm looking for a bed. I just put my bag down. I'm like, we're gonna chill now for a day or so, right? Kind of get our bearings. We're on the other side of the planet. I mean, No, man, I had my khakis ironed. I was sitting in the front row an hour later in a chapel filled with 700 students, and he's standing up here with pitchers of water talking about how you're going to need the Holy Spirit in order to go out into India and be a missionary for Jesus Christ. And I'm sitting there holding on to my thing like, don't go to sleep in front of your boss. Don't go to sleep in front of your boss. You know, but I was 3 days into travel wasted. I mean, my brain, I just was so tired. You ever been so tired? I mean, creepy tired. Like just out to lunch, like marbles just gone, you know? Like I was just, whew, you could ask me anything. I'd just say, whatever, you know? I was just so tired, crazy tired. And he was just going for it like that. Now, there's a lesson here for all of us. There is a place for long messages and the need for much learning. Now, I know you might not like to hear that, which will mean something. There needs to be an alertness and a full attention to the Word of God. Jesus said, proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 10:7 is at hand. That's how he sent them out. I want you to tell everyone the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't stand here today because I have to have something to say. I stand here today because I have something to say. There's a difference. Mark 16:15 says, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. All right, here's the last to see this. He served tenderly and warmly. A faithful minister will do that. There were many lamps in the upper room, so it was a well-lit area. And a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, he sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. So after midnight, and being overcome by sleep, look what happens to Eutychus. He fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Now, I've never had that happen to me. But Paul went down. Notice his tenderness here, his warmth here. He doesn't just keep going or collect an offering, you know, at that point or something. That was a joke, by the way. That was funny. Maybe that was a clergy joke or something. I don't know. But no, he goes down and he bends over this young man and he takes him in his arms. And he says, do not be alarmed, for his life is in him. And when Paul had gone up, he goes right back upstairs, right back into the house. And broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while. Look at that. All night until daybreak. And then they departed. And then notice this. They took the youth, Eutychus, away, what? Alive. And I want you to see how Luke writes this. And were not a little comforted. That means they were comforted what? Yeah, a lot. So the faithful minister serves in tenderness and in warmth. And that story speaks for itself. What is keeping you from becoming a Christian? What is keeping you from becoming a Christian today? People make a lot of excuses. Here's a few. Not today. Just not today. It's too late in my life. The things I've done, it's too late. I tried it once, and it failed. These are popular things, excuses that people say. There's too many mysteries in it, too many things I don't understand. Some will go as far as to say, no thanks, I don't need a savior. It's an excuse. One that's very popular today, and I'd like to talk about just for a moment, is that, quote, God is love. And because God is love, there's no danger. God is love. There's nothing to worry about. Other excuses? There's too many hypocrites in the church. That's one of my favorite ones, because then I just ask people to become another one. Just join us. Come on in.
We're glad you joined us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. This broadcast comes to you from Melbourne, Florida, but we'd love to connect with you wherever you are. These messages can be found on our website or via podcast. Our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. You can also get a hold of us through social media, Facebook or Instagram. There's much encouraging content for you to find through those avenues. If you go to our website, you'll find those icons at the bottom of the page. That's trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Much valuable information is there for you, including our phone number and email. But we'll give you that here as well. Our number is 321-676-8992. If you need to hear it again, that's 321-676-8992. Our email address is info@mytrinitychurch.life. We desire for each of our listeners to be walking in a way that expresses their devotion to God and that others would see that lived out. We're praying this ministry would be just one piece of that process as you go about your day. We're looking forward to connecting with you in the next edition with Pastor Bo. Until then, keep the things you've heard today close to your heart and mind, and recall them through the day and week. We hope today is a day that your witness will bless those around you. Thanks for listening, and come back for more. This has been Truth That Transforms.
Hello there. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God and the Refresh Radio Program here on WMIE 91.5 FM. I want to say thank you today. I want to say thank you to those of you who in the past and are currently supporting WMIE and this radio ministry. This is a ministry. The programs, the teachings that go out are able to go out because of your support. It is a listener-supported ministry. It's funded by donations. And for those of you who currently give, I want to say thank you. I can tell you that there have been lives that have been saved. There have been people whose lives have grown as they've heard the teaching that goes forth here on WMIE. And so if you have been a faithful supporter, we want to say thank you. I also want to extend an invitation. And that is, if you are listening to the Refresh Radio program, that you reach out and say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. One of the things that we do with our missions program is we tell people there are people who are sent, there are people who send, and we want to be one of those too. And so you may not have a program here on WMIE, but you can make the programming possible. The equipment, the transmitters, the facilities, all of that is done because of people who reach out in faith. So if you've been one of those supporters, we say thank you. If not, and you feel like God is leading you, we want to say welcome to the ministry. I pray that you would reach out 321-632-1000 so you can be a part of what WMIE is doing.
When Christ shall come, With shout of acclamation and lead me home, what joy shall fill my heart.